Welcome back to Witch Church. It's your host, Mal. I'm a professional astrologer, tarot reader and teacher, and intuitive healer. And you're about to listen to the recording of Witch Church Live, a sermon that I give to my Instagram community every week. Feel free to catch the live show every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Central on IG Live, or listen to the recording right here on the podcast. This is a non-denominational weekly service for witches, astrology nerds, and anyone else who feels like they are being called to walk the spiritual path. At Witch Church Live, we talk all about the weekly astrological and tarot forecast, and really anything else that is channeled through me about the week ahead. Oh, and you'll probably hear about my random life updates and some rambly life stories mixed in as well. I hope that's okay. If this podcast brings some kind of value or joy to your life, be sure to leave me a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts. And feel free to send this podcast to a friend if you feel like they could benefit from listening. If you feel called, you can also support the production of this podcast and my other creations on Patreon for as little as $5 a month and get access to my secret YouTube channel with a bunch of extra astrology and tarot content. And if you would like me to hold space for you on your spiritual path, you can book an astrology session, tarot reading, or distance Reiki healing on my site, MalloryHasty.com. I would be honored to be your guide in some way. All of the links to my site and my social media are in the show notes. Have a magical week, my friends, and thank you so much for listening. But happy Witch Church. I am back from my North Carolina adventure, and it went well. I am seriously thinking about relocating there this fall. We'll see. We'll see what Spirit has in store. And also, I'm in between trips right now because just got back from my month in North Carolina, and now I'm going on Thursday. I'm going to leave for Arizona, and I'll be there for about a month. So Arizona isn't one of my like places I'm considering moving, but I do have two astrology conferences that I'm going to attend this year. And one is in Tucson, Arizona at the end of April, and the other is in Seattle at the end of May. And one of my best friends lives in Arizona. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fly from Chicago to Arizona, Chicago to Arizona, Arizona to Chicago, Chicago to Seattle. I already can't afford to be going to all these astrology conferences anyway. So I'm like, how can I like save some kind of money on flights? So I was just like, you know what? I just was like, I'm just going to stay with my friend for like a month and just make it one less plane ride. And plus with COVID and everything, I feel like it's a little bit safer to like limit your plane rides and just kind of stay put, you know. So the next time you'll see me, I will be in Arizona. Oh, Jessica, you remember. If you remember, guys, there was a Jessica said, what happened with the dog sitting lady? I did meet with the dog sitting lady. I do have an opportunity to potentially dog sit long term for this couple in North Carolina who are going out of the country for like 6 to 9 months. So there is an opportunity to potentially be their dog sitter, which would be really cool. It will depend when it comes down to it. I think it will depend on what we end up deciding would be my rent, because it's a little bit of a interesting situation because they live in a really nice house, but then they have two dogs. So I think we're both kind of inexperienced with how much would I get paid to babysit these two dogs, and how much would they be charging me for rent, and how would that meld together? You know what I mean? So I don't know if anybody has a dog and they've hired a dog sitter long term. I know it's probably dependent on your state and your kind of city's economy, but yeah, I feel like dog sitters are not cheap these days. Like, when I babysit in Chicago sometimes for dogs, that's like $50 a day for one dog. I'm trying to figure out like the negotiation part of that. So DM me if you have any information on dog sitting land. But yes, enough about me, my friends. How are we feeling when it comes to the upcoming eclipse season? I was thinking that today, I was looking at the moon, and the moon is in Aquarius today, and the moon is approaching a square with Mercury and is about to run into Saturn. So I was thinking, I was like, ooh, today's kind of like an emotional bump. You know, maybe we hit a little bit of an emotional, like we trip. You know, like we, you know, when you're walking on the sidewalk and there's like a little, there's like a, what are those things? Like you almost trip on the pavement, like the pavement's a little bit higher and you don't realize it. And you just kind of like, that's what today feels like. It kind of feels like we're maybe emotionally tripping over some kind of, maybe emotional, hold up, or maybe today we're kind of starting the sort of purging process when it comes to upcoming eclipse season. Now, here's the thing though. We do have an eclipse coming up in less than a week, and that happens on Saturday. So we have a new moon eclipse in Taurus. I believe it's at 10 degrees Taurus. But what's interesting about this eclipse, like, we even hear the word eclipse and we're like, oh my God, like, not eclipse season. Like, I'm going to be emotionally distraught, right? But there's something, I think, and I'm not just saying this, there's something about this eclipse that feels very, something is being revealed to us that's actually a really good thing. You know, eclipses are typically times of like purging and maybe sometimes facing our shadow in some way. However, because this eclipse is in Taurus, Taurus is ruled by Venus, right? And what is Venus doing at the time of this upcoming eclipse on Saturday? Well, it is so interesting because Venus will be meeting Jupiter at 27 degrees Pisces. So the ruler of this eclipse is extremely benefic. You know, we have the two benefic planets, Jupiter and Venus. Jupiter, the planet of abundance. Venus, the planet of love. Jupiter loves to be in Pisces. Venus loves to be in Pisces. They're both going to be conjunct at 27 degrees Pisces. So the fact that this eclipse is technically ruled by a really beautiful conjunction of the two benefics, that interests me. I'm very interested to see what this eclipse will reveal to us, okay? And Jellybean, you said, I think I emotionally tripped yesterday, had a good cleansing cry. Yeah, no, I agree. Yesterday, you know, there was something about the weather, and by the way, I'm screenshotting all of your dog advice right now, so thank you if you're typing some dog sitting advice, I appreciate it. yeah, even yesterday, I kind of felt like, you know when you feel like you're over something, But then you, like, trip over it, and you're like, fuck, like, I thought I was done with this, right? And I'm so basic, but I was driving for so long that sometimes I kind of get sick of listening to music, which is kind of weird, because I feel like the Pisces cliche is like that we love music or something like that. But to be honest, sometimes music makes me really emo. Like, I have to be careful about what I'm listening to, and if it's too sad, I can't do it, right? So sometimes I prefer to listen to podcasts or audiobooks, especially if I have a long drive. And the drive from North Carolina to Chicago is like 10 hours. So I'm so basic because I was listening to the audiobook of, or the audio version of Eat, Pray, Love by Elizabeth Gilbert, of course, and I've listened to it at least twice before. This has got to be my third time listening to it. And I, if you've ever read that book before, you know, when she's at the ashram in India, she meets this guy, his name's Richard from Texas. And Richard from Texas, like, is kind of giving her a hard time in a way, because he sees Elizabeth struggling emotionally when it comes to her ex. And Richard from Texas in the book actually said something that felt like it reminded me of eclipse season. He was like, she was kind of complaining to him or in a little bit of despair, because she was like, I can't get over my ex. She's like, it's been a year since we broke up and I still like think about him all the time, or I still feel emotionally distraught. And he was like, so what? He calls her groceries, and he was like, so what, groceries? You gave it a year, give it another 6 months. Like, he just said it so flippantly. And in that way, it reminded me that I'm like, you know, why do we have our human experience on this emotional timeline? Like, we always give ourselves these, like, weird, like, obsolete kind of timelines of like, oh, I should be over this by now, or like, I shouldn't have emotions about this because it's been so long, or I thought I worked through this and then I tripped over something. You know, like, there's something about eclipse season that kind of does that to us. Like, the sort of, oh God, like, I've been crying about this on and off for a year. Like, when is it going to stop? And when Richard from Texas said that, like, just was like, well, give another 6 months. Who cares? There was, like, some kind of permission, I think, that maybe we needed during upcoming eclipse season, that, like, there's something there. Just, like, letting yourself have the emotions, or letting yourself feel through the feelings, even if your ego is saying you should be over it by now, or whatever kind of shit that we think up, you know? Laura, you said that's my spirit book. Yeah, truly, truly. And Katie, you said, so I love that, the read on the Taurus eclipse. I was finally got real writing done yesterday. It was tremendous, but emotional. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy for you, Katie. Okay. Ooh, okay, I like this, Jessica. See, I asked the right people about the dog sitting thing. But on the other hand, there's some kind of emotional purge that eclipse season always brings us. But also, because of the eclipse being ruled by this, like, extremely benefic conjunction, I really do think about the sort of the gift of what comes after this emotional purge. It really does feel like a letting go so new life can emerge, as cheesy as it sounds, okay? And I don't know, has anybody been pulling the Magician a lot lately? Because the Magician has been one of my repeating cards for a long time, probably in the last 2 weeks. And I was thinking, I was like, okay, I don't know if this makes that much sense. Spirit, like, why are you giving me the Magician? Because we're coming into eclipse season. For me, the Magician often brings the message of, like, it's time to do something. It's time to, like, exert your free will. It's time to, like, make choices or take action. And typically that's not the message typically that's not what the textbooks would say, you know, about eclipse season. Typically, like, eclipse season isn't necessarily a time to, shift into the magician. But thinking about this specific Taurus eclipse coming up, being ruled by this really benefic influence, maybe there's something about, like, feeling through these emotions, purging these emotions, you know, there's, like, something very old, but then very new emerging. And I think there is something about the magician reminding us that there is newness, there is new energy emerging, and there's something that we kind of are maybe needing to do with that new energy, or there's some kind of balance that is being invited for us to sort of cultivate the balance between letting ourselves, allowing ourselves, forgiving ourselves for those, like, emotional tripping moments, you know, like, just letting ourselves have that cry, but also not forgetting that there truly is this, like, kind of magical force in the air. Jupiter is still in Pisces, okay? I know we've talked about how Jupiter in Pisces has been a bit of a letdown, but I don't know. With the Venus going there, I have some faith about what could become of this last little chunk of Jupiter in Pisces. And Noelle, you said, I didn't realize we were approaching another eclipse season. Good timing as I'm beginning a new journey of sobriety, very eager to heal and meet my future self. Okay, see, love that. That is actually the perfect example, Noelle, because something like, I don't know, sobriety isn't an easy new beginning. It's a new beginning that is probably filled with a lot of emotional purging from what I've witnessed, holding space for other people on that journey in some way. I can't speak for myself because I don't have that experience, but at the same time, just kind of seeing friends and clients going through that, that feels to me like a really good example of, like, what happens during eclipse season. We kind of realize how our shadow has maybe been interacting with our manifestations, right? Or we realize how we've perhaps been self-sabotaging or just unconsciously maybe walking. Spirit's almost giving me the image of us, like, walking just a little bit to the right of an aligned path. Like, we're still in alignment, but we're not as in alignment as we possibly could be, you know, and that's eclipse season. Eclipse season will scoot us back to that feeling of alignment, even if it's, if it requires this sort of emotional purge. Okay, so it's funny because the magician, the way I teach it in my tarot class, which, by the way, Tarot for Personal Transformation is relaunching for this summer, June 26th. So I'm excited. Empress cohort is still happening. I think spirit timing just kind of got in the way of my spring semester working out. So we're going to relaunch this summer. So mark your calendars and feel free to DM me if you're somewhat interested in joining this cohort, which starts on Sunday, June 26th. But the way that I teach the magician is that, you know, if we look at this, the magician is actually holding or has the four aces on his table. You know, he has the sword, the wand, the cup, and the pentacle. So there's something implied about the four aces in the magician, I think. And if we think about who the aces are, I have here the Ace of Pentacles, the Ace of Swords, the Ace of Cups, and the Ace of Wands. These are our pure the purest energy of the element itself. You know, Ace of Wands, pure fire, pure ability to act. You know, Ace of Cups, there's some kind of healing emotional moment that is being handed to us. There's some kind of a unconditional love, you know, being handed to us. Ace of Swords, there's some really clean, sharp, new idea about how to move forward. And then Ace of Pentacles, there's some kind of opportunity that is being presented to us. However, sometimes we get the impression that when we get an ace, it's almost like, and I have this too, like it's almost like we get the ace and then we're like, oh, the universe is going to give me this, right? Like we get the ace and we're like, oh, my Ace of Pentacles or my Ace of Cups moment is coming to me. We forget what the magician actually teaches us is that no matter what, actually we always have all four aces with us, no matter what. So there's something here about this upcoming eclipse season. Again, there's space for this emotional purging, but also there's space to realize that these four aces, however we want to utilize them, taking new action, which would be Ace of Wands, you know, adopting a new narrative, Ace of Swords, maybe sort of emotionally tending to ourselves in a new way, Ace of Cups, Ace of Pentacles saying yes to the new opportunity. That is still present with this eclipse season, but we have to remember that the universe or God isn't Santa Claus. Like, we're not just going to walk out to our porch and see this Ace of Pentacles. Sometimes we need to do something about it. And Jessica, you said, do you feel like eclipse season brings forth a force of choice? I feel like self-sabotage behaviors are coming up very sneakily. I could see, because of eclipse season's heavy emotional kind of weather, I could see why some old self-sabotaging behaviors could come up around this time, just because we might feel so emotionally tumultuous. But you're right. You're so right in highlighting the power of choice, because that is actually what the magician himself reminds us of. No matter what situation we're in, we always have some kind of choice of how to move forward, or we have some aspect of our free will that is available to us. So that's something to remember during eclipse season. And Jessica, you also said, this feels exciting to go down that route. It takes great reflection to realize, wait, is this a shadow side? Is this behavior going to pull me back into that part of myself I'm trying to heal? Totally. And Katie, you said, this has been my lesson lately in putting pen to paper. Gotta put in the elbow grease, put the pen to paper. Yes, totally. And oh my gosh, friends. Okay, so when I was in, also, how many people are here? Because okay, we'll just, let's just keep the, whatever story, the story I'm about to tell, let's try to keep it in between us, okay? Because it's, I contemplated if I should tell this story, because it's, like, so embarrassing. but I have to say, I feel like I can't not tell it, because it's such a good example, and it's something that I feel like Spirit was showing me when it comes to this message, and it's a message I've had to marinate on for like 2 weeks or so. So when I was still in North Carolina, this is so embarrassing. Okay, so when I was still in North Carolina, I pulled the Ace of Pentacles, okay? And I also had the Magician as my card of the week. And then on a day-to-day basis, I pulled the Ace of Pentacles. Okay. So you see, the Ace is the Magician. They're kind of marinating already in my life, like about 2 weeks ago. I didn't really think much of it. I wasn't sure what it meant. I was like, oh, great, like, Ace of Pentacles, like, I'm in this place that I might move to. Like, I didn't really think there was much for me to do that day. And to be honest, I kind of forgot that I even pulled the Ace of Pentacles. Okay. This is so embarrassing. Okay, so fast forward to later that day. I decide to go to the coffee shop and do some work. So I go to this coffee shop, and there's like a bunch of like trendy coffee shops in Asheville. It's like such a cool coffee shop environment. Okay. So I'm like looking at the menu, and I'm like, okay, what do I want? And then it's time for me to place my order. And the girl who's about to take my order is the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life. Like, I didn't see her before, and I didn't, like, see her because I wasn't paying attention, and then I just look at her, and I'm like, oh my god, like, this is the hottest girl I've ever seen in my life. So I'm, like, kind of flustered. I was like, okay. So I order whatever, and I'm like, oh my god, like, she is so cute. Like, I feel like we have to, like, go out or something. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what if she, like, and I have all these fantasies because I'm, like, a Pisces, so I'm like, oh my god, like, maybe she thought I was cute too. Like, maybe she's gonna write her number on my coffee cup or like, you know, like, I just have, like, all of these, like, Piscean things. So, so that didn't happen. That fantasy didn't come true. So whatever, I get my drink and I'm like, go sit down. I still try to do some work, and I'm like, but I'm still thinking about it. And I'm like, god, like, she's so cute. Like, I, like, never feel like this about, I don't feel like I stumble upon that many people in general that I think are, like, that cute, that I would have this thought process, right? So I'm like, oh god, like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. Like, and I'm, like, looking behind me. I'm so embarrassing. I'm, like, looking behind me, like, looking at her, and I'm like, is she gonna come up to me? Like, what? And I'm like, oh gosh. And you know what? I just had this moment where it was like an Ace of Pentacles moment, magician moment, where I was like, I don't think, this is like Harry Potter in the Prisoner of Azkaban, when Harry, it's at the end where Sirius and him are by the lake and all of the Dementors are coming, and Harry's like waiting for someone to save them. Like, because remember, what he thought he saw was his dad or some kind of divine force coming in to cast the Patronus. To cast the Patronus and save him and Sirius, right? But at the last minute, he realizes, oh fuck, like, no one's coming to save me. No one's going to do what I have in mind. I need to cast the Patronus, right? Like, I need to save us in this situation. So I also had that moment where I was like, no one's good. This is a cute girl. Like, I don't think she's coming up to me. It's on me here. So, so what do I do? Again, double embarrassing. Guys, I never do this kind of thing. I really don't. So this is like so unlike me. And granted, in this moment too, I forgot that I had pulled the Ace of Pentacles that day. So here's what I do. Okay. So I decide I'm just going to write her a little note. I'm going to leave her my number and we'll see what happens. So I wrote her a little note and I said, I think you're really cute, and I'm only here for a little bit longer, but I would love to take you on a date this weekend. And I put my number and I said, no pressure, but text me if you're interested. Was that weird? I feel like that's so weird that I did that. But also, again, we have these fantasies of like people coming up and doing that to us, like, but we never do that to other people, you know, like, we never take the initiative to do that, right? Okay, so I go up to her and I was like, hey, and she's like taking the trash out. Okay, so it was like so embarrassing. I'm like stalking her, and I was like, hey, what's your name? And she told me her name, and I was like, oh, awesome. So I like wrote her name on the note, and I was like, this is for you. I hope you have a good day. And then I walked out of the coffee shop, okay? And then I get in my car, and I, like, speed away. Because I was like, I, like, can't handle what I just did. So I was like, I don't know, she's probably not gonna text me, she probably thinks I'm super weird, like, who does that, who gives a little note, okay, but I don't know, if you're a queer woman, like, you know, like, you just have to take initiative, because it just, whatever. So, long story short, guys, this has a bittersweet ending, because long story short, she does text me, okay, which was good. She does text me, and she said something like, hey, you totally made my day with your note. I would totally say yes, but I'm actually having a really hard time right now, so I don't feel like I can, like, emotionally say yes to a date. But she was like, I hope we run into each other later if you end up moving here. Okay. So that was end of story. And I was like, oh my God, no worries. You totally didn't have to text me that. You could have totally just ghosted or whatever. So we didn't end up going on the date. Okay. However. However. I will say that I'm happy I did that. Because, A, it was like a Harry Potter Patronus situation. Like, I had to have the realization that no one is, like, you know what? No one is coming. You know? Like, that's the thing. We sit and we realize, we, like, have all these fantasies about whether that's being asked out in a cute way, or the job opportunity just landing in our lap, or meeting a new friend, or, you know, someone inviting us to the beach or the art museum or whatever. There's something about what's in the air right now. It's like this almost self-empowerment kind of thing. Like, even though we're a little bit emotionally, you know, up and down with eclipse season, there's also this weird thing going on with Venus and Jupiter where we're realizing, like, wait a second, like, I am divine. I have the ability to create my reality to some, you know, to some point, right? And I think there is something there about, like, you know, we can't just wait around. And I could have just waited around for that girl to come up to me in the coffee shop, which she wasn't going to do, right? Like, it wasn't going to happen. I could have just left. And just nothing could have happened, right? But instead, I had to take initiative and kind of create my own opportunity. And even though it didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to, I do think that that's something that eclipse season will challenge us with, okay? There was just something about the opportunity is there. And even if it doesn't completely work out, is there also a lesson in taking initiative? You know, like, is there a lesson in, going back to Harry Potter, like, realizing that nobody is going to, like, cast the Patronus for you? So there's something here about this eclipse season. Like, why is it special? I think it's special because there's something about the way that, I'm reading your comments, there's just something about the way that we can pivot and change things for ourselves right now. It might not work out exactly like we want it to. However, just even the attempt can kind of shift our energy into a new frequency. For instance, okay, going back to my embarrassing number coffee shop girl moment. You know, that was very bold. Like, I've never done something that bold. And now, if I run into another cute girl, non-binary person or whatever, like, is it gonna be that big of a deal? Because I already did, like, the most embarrassing thing, you know? Like, I already did something so drastically embarrassing to, like, ask someone out. Like, if I see, like, someone cute in a bar or something, it's not even going to be that big of a deal to go up to them, you know, because the other thing was, like, already such a hurdle to jump over. So there's something there about, too, like, when we challenge ourselves to make our own opportunities and it doesn't work out and we say, like, oh, well, like, at least I did it. Then we also just created a stronger muscle to do it again. And looping this all back to the magician and his aces, you know, how can you create the environment for your opportunity to come through? How can you find balance, again, between the emotional purging that sometimes can happen during eclipse season? But then, again, what's in the background of this eclipse? The Pisces, Jupiter-Venus conjunction. Okay. So... so, I'm looking at your comments right now. Okay, you guys are saying it's not weird. Okay, good. I'm glad. Because I was like, oh my gosh, I am so embarrassing. Lauren, you said, I don't even care how the story ends. I love it. Guys, sometimes you just gotta take initiative, okay? And if a double Pisces can do that, you can do it too. Lauren, you also said, no one coming to rescue me is one of the major themes of my life. So here for this message. Totally. Jeanette, you said, I think that sometimes being able to recognize the need and creating the opportunity makes the difference. Totally, totally. And Sav, you're so right. The Eight of Swords moment. We talk about this in tarot class. I actually love getting the Eight of Swords. I know it's weird, but if we look at the Eight of Swords in the Rider-Waite-Smith, it's like the person with the blindfold surrounded by swords. But isn't it kind of a message of, like, we're fucking with ourselves? Like, nobody here is binding you. Like, nobody here is, like, trapping you in this, like, circle of swords. So whenever I get the Eight of Swords, I'm like, oh, it's me. It's my problem. Like, there actually isn't that big of an external obstacle here. You know, it's more of a mental kind of game or pattern, right? And Birdbones, you said, I don't think that was embarrassing. It was bold. Okay, well, thank you for saying that. And let's see, Laura, you said, definitely not weird. I did that to a dude in Malaysia once. And, you know, one more thing I'll say in conclusion, do you know how many people I hear in my sessions? I'm calling all of you out, all of my clients. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, when you talk to a lot of people for a living, and especially when you're talking to people about their love life, a lot of people say, I don't want to meet someone on a dating app. I want to meet someone organically in person. Oh, this is the perfect example. This is the broader example of what I'm talking about. Okay, you want to meet someone in person? You want to meet someone organically? Okay, are you going to do anything about it? Like, that's what I always challenge people on. Like, you're not going to meet someone organically if you just sit and wait around for someone to come up to you. You know, like, if you're actually want to put your money where your mouth is and meet someone organically, you might have to be willing to do something bold, right? And same thing with, like, job opportunities or, I don't know, creative projects or whatever. Like, you might have to be willing to call someone up, make a connection. If we want these, like, sometimes serendipitous moments are actually us sort of marrying our free will with divine energy, if that makes sense at all. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's the thing too. Like, when we realize that we are capable of creating an environment for what we want to come through, that can be really powerful. And it also can remind us that we are always like 50-50 with the universe, in the sense that, is the universe working with us? Yes. Like, is anything 100% our free will or 100% divine timing? No. Like, it's never 100%. It's always like, there's always some percentage of our free will and divine intention that is, like, coming together. And that's sort of, like, how we, I think, eventually make some things happen, right? Jessica, you said, I got sick of waiting for career growth this week and just asked the highest boss for a meeting, and they said, yes, the energy is there, but I needed to ask. Okay, definitely. That is, again, great example. And Emmy, you said, I thought about asking for a card today, but I don't need it anymore. I just needed your story. Time to be bold. I already have the tools I need. Okay, well, I'm glad. I'm glad that we were all set with my failed dating. But it wasn't a failure, right? Because I need to do these things because I need to have something to talk to you guys about at Witch Church, right? And what do you think, friends? I think maybe for our polls today, I was actually feeling like more of a pick a card kind of thing, so everybody can get some kind of message. So I'll just invite you to pick a number, 3, 2, or 1. So whatever one of those numbers feels best to you. And I have the Wild Unknown archetype deck here, and let's ask for like an aligned archetype for you to continue to work on or work with throughout eclipse season. So we'll set the intention that this archetype will not only be something for you, an ally to you on April 30th, which is the Taurus eclipse, but let's say this archetype will also be an ally to you up until May 16th, which is the Scorpio eclipse. Okay, so if you picked number 3, you got the Mystic archetype, ooh, which is really cool. You know, okay, the Mystic. And this is the cool thing about archetypes, is like working with archetypes is like, now you can kind of tune into where you might see the Mystic archetype in movies, in books, in TV shows. And when we are talking about the Mystic archetype, we're actually talking about an energy that is willing to go sort of against societal norms and expectations. There's something about the Mystic here. Like, even when I think about, like, even when I tune into this, like, I see almost like a bunch of like stick figures all like kind of clumped together. And then I see like one single stick figure like walking away from that group and going down a different path. And there is something about the Mystic who has, they have to accept that their choices are probably going to be inherently different than our mainstream societal roles and expectations. There's something about embracing the Mystic's energy that requires us to even be perceived as like weird or strange, or, you know, maybe our family isn't going to understand our choices. Like, the Mystic is willing to be judged or misunderstood in a way, and it ultimately doesn't rule them. that's something that's coming through too if you pick number three. Where is the fear of judgment, or the fear of judgment, or the fear of what other people are saying or what other people are thinking about your choices? Where is that holding you back, right? Because if you're miserable in a certain area of life and you're thinking, well, if I do something different, like, my whole family's gonna think I'm nuts, so I might as well be miserable. How does that make sense, right? Like, that doesn't, like, when we really put it like that, doesn't make sense, right? But granted, sometimes we do unconsciously continue to make that choice. So mystic is almost permission to be unusual, to take the road less traveled on, to veer away from the group for a little bit and not give so much power to potentially what other people are thinking or what judgments they are forming about your life. Because at the end of the day, nobody else has any inkling, nobody could even know anything about your path more than you know about your path, okay? So don't let someone think they know what you should do, you know, when actually they have no idea what your soul is here to do, okay? So, hey Alyssa, okay, dropping in on your break, and Annie, you said, I picked this one, and I've been in acceptance that I will be misunderstood, and that's okay. Totally, Annie, radical acceptance. Okay, so, all right, so if you pick number two, your archetype is it Althea? Althea? Oh, nice. Okay. Guys. One moment. I was, let me see here. Where's my... let's see. Oh, son of a nutcracker. Okay. Oh, here it is. Okay. Does anybody else have this deck and you're like, you always get stumped on the Greek? There's like seven Greek ones and I'm like, oh my God, I can never remember the difference between all of them. So let me just refresh my memory on what Althea means. I believe it's about truth. Yes. Okay. So it says, I'll just read a few lines here and then I'll kind of tune in. Our soul recognizes the truth. When someone speaks it, a cool wave of relief washes over the room and all the facts and figures in the world fall by the wayside. Such is the power of Althea. It has an undeniable resonance that goes beyond the rational. The Althea card requires us to step towards an act of truth. This might look like a conversation, a gesture, a poetic act, or a ritual that honors the unveiling of what has been concealed. Okay. Going back to the Eat, Pray, Love thing, you know what? If you're familiar with the book or movie, there is a big Althea kind of moment at the beginning of that book because it's related to Liz Gilbert's like initial divorce. Because deep down, she knows that this marriage isn't right for her, and deep down she knows that she doesn't actually want to have children with this person, but she's struggling with it because she wants so badly for that thing to be the truth. Like, she wants so badly for the truth to be that she wants to be married and have children, you know, that she's trying so hard to kind of accept that as her own truth. But like deep down, she's like kind of depressed and anxious and like clearly like lying to herself, or, you know, not telling herself the truth of the actual situation at hand. Not all of you will relate to such a drastic example, okay? But I do think that at times, something I've noticed, at those times when I'm trying to maybe convince myself of something that isn't actually my truth, I do feel like I start to get more anxiety or more despair than I typically do in my day-to-day brain chemistry. You know, like, so maybe tune into that. Like, there's a difference between what you want to be true versus what is actually true. And I'm not gonna lie to you, this feels big. Like, it does feel like if you pick number two, like, there might be like a bigger shift coming up with this eclipse season when it comes to choices and expectations and what you're choosing to kind of cultivate in your life. And that can be difficult, and I don't mean to be causing anybody anxiety with this message at all, but I think there is going to be a moment where you might kind of maybe finally admit, like, okay, this is the truth of the situation. Like, this friend does drain me, and I do need a boundary with her. And as much as I don't want that to be the case, I want us to be like smile, rainbow, butterfly, best friends, skipping down the sidewalk. Maybe it's just not that anymore. You know, like, and it's interesting because, like, Kim Cran says, when we do recognize the truth, even if it's hard, when the truth does click in, there is relief. Okay. There's relief, I will say. Like, even the hardest truths that I've had to accept, like, about myself, about my path, about my identity, there is always, like, this great relief that comes after, you know? So, there's something there that's coming for the, if you pick number two, okay? Jessica, you said, so true, Mal, that's where I am. Okay, cool, Jessica. Sending you good vibes. Okay, and then if you pick number one, we have the crone. The crone. It's cool because just recently, last week, in my Women Who Roam with the Wolves class, we were reading Vasilisa, the story of Vasilisa, and the Baba Yaga. Okay, so Baba Yaga is, like, a good example of a, like, crone archetype. Kind of like the old creepy woman in the woods who isn't really living based off of, like, society's expectations for her, you know? Like, Baba Yaga is doing things that are in alignment with her, whether or not anybody else thinks they are, like, acceptable, if that makes sense. But this is slightly different than the mystic, because if you pick the mystic, it's a little bit more about maybe overcoming fear of judgment in order to do your own thing. But if you pick number one, the crone, for some reason I want to say that the crone feels to me in this moment, there's a little bit more of, like, a willingness to learn something new or a willingness to obtain wisdom. So that may mean giving yourself permission to have an experience or learn something new or even, like, study something a little bit more in the spiritual sense. It feels like there's a little bit deeper of a spiritual calling for those of you who did pick the crone. Like, I'm seeing the Bhagavad Gita, so maybe one of you is like, okay, I really want to start, like, seriously studying the Bhagavad Gita. I'm going to take a class, like, we're going to read it together or something like that. A good example of the crone is doing something like I just did a month ago, you know, going to someplace new for a month or even a week or a weekend by yourself and just kind of chilling and kind of seeing what clarity brings to you in that place, okay? There's something like academic that's coming through for some of you that did pick the crone. So I wonder if this eclipse season is revealing to you maybe going back to school or learning something new or simply studying, self-studying something that is important to you. But overall, if you are interested in a certain subject, especially if it has like a spiritual nature behind it, even if that subject is like beekeeping or weaving, that's, I think that very much has spiritual roots, right? Like, there's something there about using your interest or your passion, giving yourself permission to pursue it, and letting it almost be, almost like a prayer. Like, it's like this interest is bringing you closer to God or the divine in some way. So that's what I'm getting with the crone. So maybe particularly applicable to some artists, writers, I don't know, anybody like that who might be watching, okay? My friends, I think that's about it that I have for you today. Sorry that I didn't do individual polls, but I just kind of felt like this was a day where we needed to do some more collective work since we're going into such a big moment with eclipse season. But like I said, my tarot class relaunch is scheduled on June 26th. So mark your calendars if those dates are going to work better for you. It's going to be like a 7 or 8 week class on Sundays in the summer. So maybe some of you are going to have a better time joining for the summer. And also I wanted to say that my May books are open. If you go on my website right now to schedule a session, you actually would potentially be able to get in this week because I am technically open for a few time slots Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week. So if you're kind of needing something a little bit quicker, I can take you then potentially. And then in May, you'll see my books are open after May 5th. Okay. So I'd love to see you in May, whether you're a recurring client needing an astrology checkup, or if you're a new client and you want to dive into your natal chart or do some kind of tarot session to kind of help with eclipse season, you know, if you need some individual eclipse season guidance, step into my office. I would love to hold space for you. Okay. And that is about it, my friends. Lots of love to you. Thanks for listening to me blab. And I will try my best to make more bold decisions so I can report back on the stories to all of you, okay? Okay, friends, have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and let me know how eclipse season goes.